All right, well, good evening. A little bit later start tonight, so I apologize about that, but happy Wednesday, midweek. I hope your week's going well. This is Jacob, Pastor Jacob from Blaney Baptist, and I'm happy to join with you online. Hopefully we'll be back in person, maybe February is what we're looking at, so just be patient, continue to pray as we are trying to do everything we can to be careful, but I wanted to use this platform that God has given us to kind of get God's word out there. And I want to ask a question tonight, a simple one, and it's a short verse that we're going to be looking at. But are you satisfied? Are you happy? Are you joyous? Are you full? Would you consider your life full? And if you are, why? With what are you satisfied? And if not, then why not? Those are the kind of questions I want to answer or press into. And obviously, I want to offer you probably a better, not probably, I want to offer you a better satisfaction, a higher joy, a higher happiness, a deeper happiness. And I think if there's anything that this current situations that we are in together, from the pandemic to the political unrest that we saw, and then just the sort of tenor of our country. If you're in America or if you're somewhere else, you probably have seen it. is that there is a tension that is upon us, and I think in this tension, for many people, there has been a clarity that's been brought. A clarity about what you're actually trusting in, and a clarity about what you're actually hoping for, and where are you finding hope, where are you finding life, where are you finding satisfaction. And, you know, when you are forced, South Carolina has been very different than other places in the country, but when other people are forced to stay home, literally, they're forced to, and some of us here have because of medical issues. But if there are lockdowns and you're not able to socialize, you're not able to gather, you're not able to see the people, and for us, our family, and maybe true for you, the holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, all of that was different for us. We weren't able to be in our normal rhythms or see the people that we would normally see on those days or be in the places that we would normally be. And so it was very revealing as to what we were actually enjoying on those days, and especially on a day like Christmas when we ought to be celebrating Jesus. So anyways, I want to ask you the question of what you're satisfied in, and maybe, hopefully, point you toward a greater satisfaction in Jesus. And along the way, we'll see two dangers, kind of. They're different, but they're twins. They're foils of one another. And we find them in Proverbs 27. So I want to read to you Proverbs 27:7, chapter 27, verse 7 in Proverbs. And I'm in the English Standard Version. And it says, "One who is full loathes honey, but to the one who is hungry, everything bitter is sweet." I'll read it again. "One who is full loathes honey, but to the one who is hungry, everything bitter is sweet." Let's pray. Father, we ask that tonight you would give us clarity and give us light. We confess that we need you. We are more desperately needy for you and Christ and your word, your spirit right now than we can imagine. Would we begin to feel that need, but also begin to feel and sense the fullness of your presence that you've promised to us in Christ. So would we know you as we come to your word? Would you help us? And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so in Proverbs 27:7, if you read the book of Proverbs, it can feel kind of disjointed because you like read one thing here and then the next verse it's like this. It's meant to cultivate wisdom in you. And wisdom isn't just knowledge, but wisdom is knowledge under God, rightfully applied. So that it is a righteous knowledge that is righteously applied, believed and applied in obedient action. And so what are we supposed to do with one who is full, loathes honey, or hates honey? What is that? What kind of sense does that make? Well, that shows us the first danger. And if we're asking the question of what are you satisfied, the first danger is the danger of empty fullness. And I think we see this one more nowadays than we probably see the second one. An empty fullness is that the one who is full hates that which is actually satisfying. The honey here represents that which is sweet and nourishing, life-giving. You consider the places in Scripture where people eat honey. You consider famously Samson and the carcass of the lion, and he eats the honey and he's rejuvenated. Or Jonathan, Saul's son, David's friend, who dips his staff in some in some honey, and he himself is strengthened. And so honey represents a sweetness, it represents strength, it represents vitality. And so when you are full on something that isn't that, so if you're full on something that actually doesn't satisfy, it actually doesn't bring you life, it doesn't bring wholeness, it doesn't bring strength, there might be, you might feel full. So just imagine the difference between, say, you ate, just say, a meal of 400 calories, which is not that much in our meal for us. you know, you go to Chick-fil-A, you can go over 1,000 real quick. You can drink a milkshake and go over 1,000. Anyway, but you imagine a meal of 400 calories. A meal of 400 calories, or just something, a serving of 400 calories, of, say, Twinkies versus 400 calories of steak and vegetables. Now, which one's an actual meal? Which one would you be happy if your kids are eating? And which one is going to help you not just stay satisfied longer, but it's going to actually help your body? Which one's actually going to strengthen you and give you strength and vitality mentally and physically, that's going to encourage your body to operate as it ought to be? And you know the answer. You know the answer is the steak and the vegetables, or the, maybe if you're super picky, the grilled chicken and the vegetables. but oftentimes, what we, especially in our culture where there's so much, we're bombarded with social media, we're bombarded with Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and stuff. We are incredibly just possessions and things and materials, and that we are bombarded with messages of satisfaction. You just consider the ads that, you know, if you were to go to, you don't even go turn on the TV, just scroll through Facebook after this, stop here, but after this, go scroll through Facebook and notice the ads, and almost always, they're selling you satisfaction. They're selling you joy, they're selling you fullness, they're selling you purpose, they're selling you health that is going to lead to satisfaction, that all these things are selling you. And so there's a sense in which if we partake in those things, that if we partake in the something as big as a car, or something as a, you know, a new set of pots, I don't know. I searched pots and pans one time, and I'll have Facebook ads for pots and pans. that somehow that's going to make us complete, or make us whole, or give us that sense that we have what we're looking for. And those things are always short-lived. But so there's a date, and this is what I mean by empty fullness. It's a fullness that doesn't last. And in fact, the one who is full in this way, who's loathing honey, who's loathing the thing that will actually satisfy, they're saying, I'm full, I have what I need, I don't need anything more. And these are the people who are saying, I have everything I need. Why would I need Jesus? I have a good job, I have a good family, I have good insurance, I have good health, I have all this stuff, I have a nice house, I have a nice car, I have material things, I have enriching relationships with other people, and I have a very purposeful place in the world, and you're thinking, why do I need Jesus? There's an empty fullness. And what you need to see about all those things is that all those things will fall away. That your house isn't going to last, your car definitely isn't going to last, right? It doesn't last. Even those really important relationships that you have, one, there's no guarantee that they will last. Two, there is a guarantee that death will meet us all. And so there is an empty fullness. And when you are full on the wrong things, then you'll always be looking to the wrong things, thinking that that's always going to fill you up. And so that's the first danger, is an empty fullness. The second danger about trying to answer the question of are you satisfied, the second danger is the danger of desperate emptiness. And I think one thing that the pandemic has done is that it has brought this to the surface. It has brought to the surface that in many people there has been a desperate emptiness. And that desperate emptiness, for a long time before the pandemic, before the craziness that's happened, it was kind of muffled and covered up by a never-ending parade of activity, a never-ending parade of people, maybe for some people a never-ending parade of like sexual partners or drug abuse or alcohol abuse or maybe just workaholicism, that maybe it was sort of covered up in these ways. And now during lockdowns and during pandemics and quarantines and things, all these things are shifted. Now all of that's been stripped away, and all that's been left is this desperate emptiness. And a desperate emptiness is going to cling to anything. And this is the second part of Proverbs 27:7. To the one who is hungry, everything bitter is sweet. If you begin to experience, and it's fully revealed that you might have been deceiving yourself, thinking that you were happy and satisfied in this stuff, or in these people, or in this job, or in these substances, that all these things have been sort of peeled away, and you saw you were deceiving yourself, that you're actually desperately empty. And the pandemic has shown that's true, that there's been this a surge of people taking their own lives, and they were quarantined from late relationships, and it was this desperate emptiness that blossomed in them, and they didn't know what to do. They couldn't go to their normal avenues to fill those things up. And if that's you right now, I want to tell you that there's hope, that there is a deep satisfaction that can be had right where you are right now, a true and lasting one. So if the first danger is this empty fullness, which is ultimately self-deceiving, the one who is full loathes honey. That person hates that which is sweet and satisfying and life-giving. The second danger is this desperate emptiness. To the one who is hungry, everything bitter is sweet. That means they're going to cling to the broken things of the world, and even the things that are broken, even the substances, and even the work, and even the materials, and even sometimes you could try to be pouring this in, saying the church, religious activity, or your own morality, or whatever, your own intelligence, that all of these things that you know, if you were thinking clearly, you know they don't satisfy. But when you're hungry, when you're desperately empty, you'll go to all of these things, and they'll taste sweet. The fame of people will taste sweet. The power tastes sweet. All these things are sweet to our souls. They offer us a false sense of satisfaction. But that's where our proverb stops. That's not where we could stop. The scriptures have so much to say about happiness and satisfaction. And I would even encourage you, as you read the Bible, which I encourage you to do, but As you read the Bible and you come into somewhere it says, blessed is the person or blessed is the man, oftentimes those kind of words could be translated with a nuance of happiness. Happy is that person. And so Scripture has a lot to say about happiness and joy. and so if our satisfaction isn't in empty fullness, it's obviously not in desperate emptiness. But there is an offer of true satisfaction. And I want to take you, we're just going to stay in the Old Testament. Everybody gets the Old Testament a rough time, but I'm going to stay in the Old Testament. The offer of true satisfaction, of true happiness, of true fullness, and not just true satisfaction, but durable satisfaction. Satisfaction that can last when it's just you, and or it just seems like the world's falling apart. There is a joy that lasts. And so I want to take you to Psalm 16:11. This is a Psalm 16 is really important for me personally, but this verse is particularly important. And so it says, "You make the you here's God. You make known to me the path of life, and in your presence there is fullness of joy." Did you catch where do we find fullness of joy? It's in God's presence. But the reality is that in sin, and part of our sin means that we rebel. I mean, that sin is rebellion, but sin manifests in your life by one, this empty fullness that you pursue these things that Scripture would call idols, that you find your identity and your hope and your satisfaction, your purpose in these things away from the Lord. And they are not meant to bear that. And that is an idol. And so it's not actually fullness of joy, even though it's deceiving you into thinking it. It's only in the Lord's presence. And then so is desperate emptiness. There's a turning anything bitter, making it sweet, anything in your life that you're going to try to cling to and find all of your hope and your purpose in. And so the sin there and those things actually separates us. And so we can't have fullness of joy because we're not in the Lord's presence. That is not the default position of humanity. The default position when you were born, when I am born, our default is rebellion and separation. Our sins have separated us. Our iniquities are separating us from God. And so how do we enter into the presence of God? That is the question. To know fullness of joy, you have to have the presence of the Lord. How do you enter into the presence of the Lord? You enter into the presence of the Lord by trusting the one whom he has sent, by believing in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, who was crucified in your place, who died, really, truly died, was buried, and rose 3 days later. The Spirit of God comes into your life and brings you into the presence of God. Paul says in Colossians 3:3 that your life, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That when we believe in Jesus, there's this exchanging of that old self that found satisfaction in all these other things, in idols and things that don't satisfy and actually condemn and crush us as we begin to think about those idols. That empty fullness and that desperate emptiness, that those things crush us. They manipulate us and they own us. They enslave us. And there's freedom in Christ and there's new life. And there's new life in the presence of the Lord. So that would be my first encouragement, is that you trust Jesus and come into the presence of the Lord in a new relationship with him. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Pleasures forevermore. Don't let that word creep you out. Don't let it wig you out. There are pleasures forevermore in God. And there are pleasures that this world cannot touch. Deep, spiritual, intimate pleasures. And that, in the sort of sensual culture that we live in, that might cause you to trip up and stumble. But there are soul-satisfying pleasures in the Lord. So I would encourage you to come to him. And finally, that was the end of Psalm 16. In Psalm 17:15, it says, "I shall be satisfied with your likeness," or with your face. There is this hope of glory that we will awake to see Jesus and be satisfied. So the question to you is, are you satisfied? If so, with what? Does that which you think is satisfying to you, does it actually satisfy? Or is it deceiving you from finding true satisfaction in Christ? Or, if you're not satisfied, why not? Face that desperate emptiness and then turn to Jesus and say, "Would you come and fill it?" And dear one, he will. He will. And the offer to us is that we would all find true satisfaction in Jesus. Durable satisfaction. A durable joy that lasts through the storms of this life. The ups and downs that you might see coming and might not see coming. You can find rooted, deep, true satisfaction and joy in Jesus if you but come to Him. So I would encourage you, if I can help you, feel free to message our page or message me personally if you know me, or if we're friends, what, how, know how this works. But if I can help you, please let me know. I'd love to pray with you, and if you have questions about it, let me know. So let me pray now and just see what the Lord will do. Father, we thank you again for your presence and for your word, and we pray that you would save us from the empty fullness that would deceive us. Would you just save us from the desperate emptiness that would crush us, that we would find true satisfaction in you, Lord Jesus. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. We be satisfied in your likeness. I pray for those who have heard, I pray that they would find satisfaction in Jesus, maybe refreshed and renewed and revived in them, or for others that they might find you for the first time through repentance and faith. But God, would you help us? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Blessings, grace, and peace.